O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Let us pray. O gracious God, thou hast an excellent name. Thou art worthy to be praised. We come this evening to worship thee. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee, O Lord, for Calvary, our blessed Redeemer, and that he had done all things well for us. We would come in his name, thinking of his finished work, praying that thou would accept us because of him, Heavenly Father. O Lord, cleanse us from our sin. Bless us, O Lord. Bless all the people in their homes, Lord. Help them, O Lord, and help us all. Hear us, be glorified, O Lord. Teach our hearts to praise thy name. O, we come. Help us to exercise faith for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our first praise, the 103rd Psalm, and we're singing verses 1 through to verse 5 to the tune New Britain. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, bestir it up his holy name to magnify and bless. O thou my soul, bless God, O Lord, and all that in me is, we turn in the Word of God to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 32 to the end of the chapter. John chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 32. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth not our Lord judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. May God add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Amen. We turn to our second praise, Psalm number 2. And we're singing verses 1 through to verse 6 and then verse 12. In John chapter 7, we considered the opposition to Christ. Well, we're going to sing of that now, this opposition, here in the second Psalm. Psalm 2, verses 1 through to verse 6 and then verse 12. And the tune is Graffenberg. Why rage the heathen and vain things? Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth do set themselves, and princes are combined.
Why rage the heathen?
He that in heaven
Let us come now again to the Lord in prayer. O gracious God, we thank thee that through grace we have kissed the Son. With the arms of faith we have embraced him. O Lord our God, we thank thee that thou hast put faith in our hearts, and thou hast put love as well. And though at times our love seems so weak and faint, we can renew our love to thee now, and we would say, we love thee, Lord. O Lord our God, how privileged we are to be able to speak to thee with faith in our hearts, to worship thee and to adore thee. Oh, we give thee praise for this. We thank thee that thou art a God to us, and we thank thee that heaven is open. We have an open heaven, and there are covenant blessings for us further today. Oh, how blessed we are to be a friend and to know thee as a God who is so gracious. Oh, we worship thee. We thank thee for the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the centre of the gospel. And we thank thee that through him there is life, and we have this hope in our hearts. We thank thee for the refreshing message of the gospel. And may we know afresh again that refreshment. And as we think of the message of comfort and hope as well to us who love the Lord, may we know refreshment this evening hour, we pray. For any without Christ who listen on, oh, if it please thee, may their ears be opened, may they yet be found crying out to thee for mercy. Oh, Lord, we pray for a movement of the Holy Spirit. We look to that day when there will be a suddenly, and the Spirit will come and breathe across the souls of men and women in a wonderful way. Oh, Lord, yet in the meanwhile, we pray for the ones and the twos, even in this locality, oh, for a work of grace in this village, in the surrounding areas, in Ringwood, Fordingbridge, Alderholt, other places, oh Lord, across the forest, and in the south of England, we pray for souls to be saved. Oh, we come to thee then, bless thy word to us, give strength in the evening. Help, O Lord, thou knowest the need of strength. May we know a little reviving tonight. Bless all who minister thy word today. Give them help, unusual situations they find themselves in. O Lord, away from the people. But we thank thee for these means whereby we can listen and services can go forth. Oh, we pray. We look to a day when we can begin to come back together again. We pray for this, O Lord, at this time. Bless every family in the congregation. Be near to them. Bless those of us who are married. Help us to remember our duties and to perform them for thy glory. Keep the devil away from us. And for all of us, keep the devil away. For widows, be with them, O Lord, we pray. And for those who are single, be with them, the widowers as well. Oh, be near. We thank thee that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be thou that friend to those on their own today in their homes. Draw near, touch their hearts. May they know a little of that experience on the road to Emmaus, that Jesus drew near and went with them. For those who sorrow, help. We pray for those in the hospitals who are fighting this disease. We pray, O Lord, for relief. We pray that further medicine and a vaccine soon will be available, O Lord. And we do pray for this season to pass. Yet, O Lord, we look to thee for mercy as a nation. We have failed thee, O Lord. Oh, we pray, have mercy. When we think of those laws being proposed, which are contrary to thy word, have mercy. We pray that the shops would not be open on thy day. We pray that life would be preserved, O gracious God. We are concerned to see what is being proposed in the view of abortion, not only for the UK here in England, but also Northern Ireland. Oh, we pray, have mercy, O God, at this time. We thank thee for the preciousness of life. And oh, we pray it would yet be respected in this nation. O Lord, hear in these things. Go before us as we enter a new week. Lead us and guide us. Walk with us each day. Help us as we turn to thee in private. Give us that concentration. Help us in the quiet place. O Lord, may we know help each day. Help us to live and serve thee, to do our duties for thy glory. When we're tested in the workplace or in the community, O Lord, may we be faithful like Abraham. May we be helped to stand strong, we pray. O come then, O cause us to grow spiritually, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Give us the clarity of thought in these things. May the Spirit work within, applying the word. O help. So we look unto thee, be with us as a people here. Bless us, O Lord, and other congregations. We pray again, particularly tonight, for thy servant, Pastor Thomas Yates. Put thy hand upon him. May he know a restoring and long-term help at this time. So hear us, O God, draw near, bless our souls, help us to take comfort that we are part of a great multitude which no man can number. Though at times we feel our loneliness, we are not alone, and we have so many brothers and sisters running into the billions in heaven and around this world. O, hear us, glory be to thy name, glory to thee in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May we know that peace in our souls, that so precious tranquility. Hear us, O God, we humbly pray, mindful of thy glory. Amen. We turn to our third praise, Psalm 42. As we come to the sermon this evening, you'll notice the relevance of this psalm. Psalm 42, we're singing verses 1 to 5 to the tune Belmont. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 5 to the tune Belmont. Like as the heart for water brooks, in thirst doth pant and pray. So pants my longing soul, God, that come to thee I may. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Belmont.
Like as the heart for water grows, if as the passer prays, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I
Now you'll find my text this evening in Proverbs 25 and verse 25. Proverbs 25 and verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Dear congregation, as we consider plainly in Isaiah 50, Christ was commissioned to speak comfort to the weary, who were like men parched in affliction. In verse 4, chapter 50 of Isaiah, we read, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." A word in season. Well, tonight may this be a word in season to many. We consider there those words of Christ, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Oh, what refreshment we have known, dear brothers and sisters, through Christ. The good news of the gospel has refreshed us. The good news of comfort, hope and strength has done us good. But then consider further tonight. How many around this world have been blessed through the good news of Jesus Christ? Many a weary soul in this world has found relief in the gospel, has found relief in Jesus. We're here tonight, we come to this proverb. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, "A short sentence containing much sense in it." You may be familiar with certain proverbs. For example, Proverbs 16, verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And then in Proverbs 18, verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, how we are blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that close friend. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we read, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then finally, Proverbs 26, verse 1. Here's another familiar proverb. "As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honour is not seemly for a fool." Well, tonight we come to this proverb. These well-known words here before us. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And I'd like us to consider, first of all, a thirsty soul. And then secondly, a refreshing message. First of all, a thirsty soul. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." On a hot summer's day, there is nothing like a glass of cool lemonade. I was once told by my father that years ago on the farm labourers who had been working out in the field would come in at break time and they would receive a glass of cool pink lemonade. Some granules were spooned into the glass and then water was added and it made a refreshing drink for them. Working hard in the sun and here was this refreshing drink. Yesterday my sons were cutting the grass out in the church field and I took over a beaker of cold milk to my oldest son. My youngest already had the water with him, but I took over a beaker of cold milk to my oldest son. And when he'd taken a few sips, I said to him, "What does it feel like?" He looked at me. So I asked him again, "What does it feel like?" And then he began to realise what I was trying to get at. And he had a little think and he said this, "It's strengthening." A glass of cold water, it strengthens, doesn't it? It brings refreshment. You know, when you're thirsty out in the sunshine, out in the heat, someone brings you a cold drink, it brings refreshment. Well, let's consider them. One that is thirsty, in need of refreshment. And as we do so, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the thirsty soul without Christ, and then secondly, the thirsty child of God. The thirsty soul without Christ, and then secondly, the thirsty child of God. Men by nature have a thirst after something. And that's plainly seen in Isaiah 55 verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And we see there plainly that there is this hunger after that which is not bread. Men are looking in the wrong direction. If you go over to the New Testament, you can consider that hungering, but also that thirsting. So we can consider there the hungering after that which is not bread, a thirsting as well, after that which is not true water, which brings refreshment. Many tonight are looking in the wrong direction. Yes, they have a thirst, they have a hunger, but sadly they refuse the invitation of the gospel. They desire satisfaction, particularly in view of their soul, but they look the wrong way. Men want happiness. They look for certain things, but often the things they look to are so fleeting and passing. But they want satisfaction. Men want to be happy. They want provision for their soul, though they may not openly admit it. And there they go, spending money for that which is not bread, as we see in Isaiah 55 verse 2. The money is weighed and given. Men desire things. They desire satisfaction, because there's a hunger or a thirst. By nature, men have this hunger and this thirst. Many are after worldly enjoyments in hope of satisfying their soul, yet it passes so quickly. Some find contentment, but it's not the true contentment that one needs in view of eternity. Oh, there are thirsty souls. Some seek wealth and pleasure to satisfy them. Many go after sinful pleasures. There is a sinful thirst. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy 29 verse 18, we read this: lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to act drunkenness to thirst. Oh, you see there, this thirsting after sinful things, immoral behaviour, drunkenness, drugs, on we could go. Oh, so many are seeking such things and other things as well. They want to be satisfied, you see, because they're thirsty, they're hungry. They want more and more. Oh, there's a slippery path. So many tonight are going in the wrong direction, seeking happiness and satisfaction in things that will not truly satisfy nor last. In Proverbs 14 verse 12 we read, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. They think they've got it right. We don't need to listen to the gospel. We don't need to go and hear the gospel in that chapel, that church. We don't need a Bible. We've got it right. That's what many are saying. Oh, the spiritual blindness. If they only considered eternity. Oh, the danger therein without Christ, that there is a place Jesus spake of called hell, and all who die in their sins, die not believing in Jesus, will go there. Oh, how blind man is. Oh, how fearful it is. Oh, that people would turn to the Lord. Then we read in Isaiah 55 verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Here comes the questions. Why, if you're listening on, you're seeking satisfaction in the things of this world and not looking to the Lord, why is the question to you? You're wrong. You're going in the wrong direction. I say that lovingly to you. Why? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why continue in this path? Yes, there are some lawful things to enjoy in this world. But why go down a path which will not satisfy? Why? You consider the Lord reasoning there in Isaiah. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, consider there a sinner, heavy laden, their sins are charged to them. They're labouring on in bondage. They're weary, they may not know it, but they are. Jesus says, "Come unto me, there's rest for the soul." Are you thirsting for water, or hungering after bread? That is not bread, neither is it water, that which will not satisfy. There is so many this evening who are weary, who are thirsting, but they're looking in the wrong direction. C.H. Spurgeon was told on that evening, "You're looking in the wrong direction." But a work of grace was done in his soul, and his feet were turned, and he looked unto Jesus. Well, let's consider secondly now, the thirsty child of God. The thirsty child of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we have known a soul satisfaction in the gospel, and particularly in Jesus Christ. We are blessed. You remember what our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Through grace, we sought the Lord. We were thirsty, and we began to seek after Jesus. We began to hunger and thirst after him and his righteousness. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," says Christ, "for they shall be filled." And there came this soul satisfaction. You recall what our Lord said in John 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The true believer has found in Jesus all they need in view of salvation to help them in life and in eternity. They know in their hearts they need look no other place, because there is no other place. How blessed is the man who has found satisfaction in Christ. All that they have need of for salvation was found in him. We sing with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I do not need anyone else. He is the good shepherd which giveth his life for the sheep. I need no other shepherd. I need no other saviour. In him I have found what I needed." My thirsty soul was blessed. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You think how often those words have been sung at a funeral by unbelievers, and yet they don't know those words really in their hearts. They sing them out of respect for being at a funeral, maybe, but they don't really sing them. You see, as we considered this morning, they can't speak, they're dumb. And though they may audibly say those words aren't sung in their hearts, but we sing them in our hearts. "I shall not want." Remember, our Lord said to those disciples, "Will you also go away?" Peter responds, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And that's what we say to the Lord Jesus now. "To whom shall we go? I'm satisfied with thee. I was and I still am and I always will be. To whom shall we go?" Oh, we know that satisfaction. However, we know what it is to be thirsty in affliction as the Lord's people. the thirsty soul, the faint one, the exhausted one, the weary one. We have these words from the Hebrew. Rather, we have these words translated from the Hebrew. Thirsty, faint, exhausted, weary. As we saw over a month ago, we need a little reviving. We need refreshing. In Psalm 63, verse 1, we read, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And the psalmist considers a barren land. And he's seeking the Lord. He feels the burden of the sun beating down upon him, the sun of affliction. Oh, it's a barren land, and we feel the same, do we not? How has this been impressed upon us these last few months now? I was amazed to think this is week 14 of lockdown in the United Kingdom. We're hopeful that soon we maybe begin to come out a little more of lockdown and assemble again. But oh, it's a barren land, we've been taught, isn't it? You know, one of the things that's really come home to me, how different this is to heaven. Yes, there are some beautiful sights. I've been walking just south of Ringwood some evenings, and there's these lovely sights stretching out over the forest. Beautiful. And you can see down to the Purbecks in the distance. Lovely. But oh, it's not heaven, is it? It's a barren land, and we can struggle. The sin in this country and in this world. And we can struggle further with other things. We can struggle with low thoughts. How many have struggled with that over recent weeks? Like Peter, we can be walking, as it were, on the water, strong in faith. But the trial or the situation, the lockdown comes before our minds, and we can struggle with low thoughts. I feel for you. Maybe you wake up in the morning and all the low thoughts come and it's struggling. Struggling in the workplace. Not easy. So many pressures at the moment. So many demands. This must be done before then. Can't physically be done, but still it's expected. Maybe someone in the workplace causing you difficulty. How I used to remember that often. They used to talk about me and I go into the room and then suddenly would go silent. Oh, struggling in the workplace, struggling in the heat of the battle with Satan. How he fires the darts. He whispers. Not easy, is it? It's not easy to battle with a roaring lion. We wouldn't want anyone to fight with a lion, like David did all those years ago. Yet we've got to battle with a roaring lion. And it's not easy. We need to be so careful where we place our feet. We can struggle with long days and struggle with long nights as well. Mental energy is used. You feel drained, parched like a bottle in the smoke. Now turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He felt like a bottle. You think there of a bottle made of skin. Think of leather. A bottle made of skin, which is put in the smoke. So there's this preserving. The bottle is hung up in the smoke and it becomes black, parched and dry. See, it needs to be dried out and preserved. And that's how we can feel at times, parched, dried. We're like a bottle in the smoke. We feel our strength draining, that mental strength draining, and we're thirsty. It's an uncomfortable place the psalmist was in, and we at times find ourselves in that uncomfortable place. He was in trial, and so we face trials. He felt the hiding of God's face. He was struggling with sin, but also with affliction. It wasn't easy, and it hasn't been easy, has it? Yes, he was hoping in the word of promise, and particularly the Messiah there in Psalm 119. Yet he was struggling. We may be looking unto the Lord, and yet we're struggling. We feel parched. How descriptive it is there, isn't it? We feel like a bottle in the smoke. That's how we feel at times, isn't it? The sweet psalmist of Israel, who knew the Lord, who had such an insight into wonderful things, felt parched. He was weary, the Puritan Thomas Manton. He had looked long till he was weary of looking. Are you weary tonight? Are you thirsty or faint? You desire refreshment, I do. Oh, thirsty souls, look unto Jesus. Turn to him. Those precious words in Psalm 143, verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Think of a thirsty land looking for the Lord to send rain, to bring refreshment. Are we not looking? Lord, look on me. I'm parched. I'm weary. I'm fainting. But I'm thirsting after thee. O Lord, come. O may the rain come down on mung grass, Psalm 72, and bring that refreshment. I thought the other day it'd been hot, and then the rain came, and you could smell the rain. You could feel it. You could see the effect, and you could smell the rain. Oh, that we would, as it were, so come near to refreshment, as it were, we smell that refreshment. We feel it. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. As a thirsty land, I'm stretching forth my hands. I'm looking to thee. I'm looking towards thee, for thou art the one who gives, and my hands are stretched ready to receive. I'm exercising faith. I'm weak. I'm thirsty, but my hands are stretched forth. Lord, send the refreshment, that through grace my hands might receive it. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, a thirsty soul. Let's move on and consider secondly a refreshing message. A refreshing message. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We love the cold water that refreshes us. We love good news. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I remember a number of years ago, I believe it was over 13, 14, maybe 15 years ago, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Stephen and Yolanda, were out in Ivory Coast, and the civil war got worse, and there was bombing near where they were. They had the missionary children with them, and they had to get the children under the tables. And they did what they could hear the bombing. They were fearful. Well, we heard this, but then communication went quiet. But then there was good news. They were being flown to Germany. And then they had come safely into Germany. And a little later into the UK. It was good news. We love to hear good news, don't we? Good news from a far country is welcome, acceptable. You may have a relative or a friend living on the other side of the world. And you haven't heard from them for a while. But then there's a phone call or a letter or an email. How are you doing? Sorry I haven't written recently, but life has been tough, life's been busy, but we're through now, and it's good news, isn't it? Welcome. Good news from a far country is most acceptable. Maybe the good news comes of someone getting a job. They've been out of work, but they get a job. Or maybe someone is getting better. Sadly, many have died through the coronavirus. But there has been many a welcome news from other parts of the world that people have got better. And we're glad to hear that. Well, on we could go. Well, we think here of the good news from a far country. And we're led to consider the far country of heaven. Oh, what a country it is. We thought earlier of it, didn't we? How far different it is to this present world. What a glorious place. And there our blessed King sits on the throne. His immediate presence is known, and there's no separation. What a wonderful thought. When we get to heaven, there will be no virus to separate us. We will have our eyes on Jesus. Nothing will separate us from his immediate presence. Let's be thankful here below. Nothing will separate us from his love. Oh, how wonderful is heaven. And what good news has come from that far country. News, dear child of God, that through grace you have received. Good news. There's not too much good news in this world, is there? We hear of violence and crime. Terrible news has come recently. Sad news. Many have died through the coronavirus. There's been rioting on the streets, murder. Abortion was up in this country last year. How sad that is. It's not good news at all, is it? Then consider further the news of sin and punishment. It's not good. We're sinners. Without Christ, we're under condemnation and facing a lost eternity in hell. Those without Christ, oh, that they would be warned. Without Christ, one is facing a lost eternity. In Romans 5, verse 12, we read, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's not good news at all, is it? Many treat sin lightly. No, they ought not to do that. It's not good news as we think of sin, death, and condemnation. And as we think of sin, oh, what sin has done to man. And oh, what sin we see in this world. However, there is the gospel, and that is good news. In Luke 10, 2, verse 10, we read, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You remember those shepherds? They were fearful. They were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord had shone around. What was going to happen to them? Were they about to die? They were so fearful. Fear grasped their hearts. They recognized they were sinners under condemnation, facing a lost eternity. They told the gospel. Oh, what a message of refreshment. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, a message for all people of good tidings. And what's the message? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The news of Jesus Christ, who had come to save, to accomplish redemption. He would keep the law perfectly, and then he would suffer completely and fully the penalty of the broken law. He was the substitute. He went all the way to the cross. Oh, we think of the darkness that came down at Calvary. Oh, God was angry because of sin. And the Son was punished. But oh, what a message it is. Because through him, there is life. Through him, there is the forgiveness of sins. Through him, who died at Calvary, there is an open heaven for all who believe. Let not your heart be troubled, said Jesus. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's the message. What good news the gospel is. Now the gospel is for all to hear. I bring you good tidings of great joy, said the angel, which shall be to all people. Sadly, many reject the gospel, and thus Jesus Christ. But others have received it and known joy. Can I ask you, is the gospel to you welcome news? You see, many hear the gospel, but it doesn't refresh them. It's not welcome news to them. They don't want this gospel. But through grace, the elect sinner comes to that point. Oh, this is good news. It's what I need to hear. And I need Jesus. Do you rejoice in this gospel, dear brothers and sisters? Does the message of the gospel bring you refreshment this evening? All is well for my soul. Can you say as we thought this morning, he hath done all things well. No matter the trials that will come my way, he will see me through. And I'm on my way to Emmanuel's land. I have a blessed and wonderful eternity awaiting me. How precious is the gospel. Now, if the gospel is not refreshing to one, they do not see their sin for what it is, nor their need of the gospel or Christ. You see, many, they dismiss sin, so the gospel is not refreshing news. They do not see their need of Christ, so the gospel is not refreshing. However, in effectual calling, one is convicted and shown the suitableness of Christ and their need of him. And through grace, one is drawn as a thirsty man reaching out for a cool drink. And through the Holy Spirit, they are caused to embrace Christ, as we sang in Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Kiss him. Believe in him, embrace him with the arms of faith, and have love in your soul. Oh, what a blessing. One is led to see their need of Jesus. Were you led to see your need of Jesus? Dear child of God, you were. If you're without Christ, oh, that you would thirst yet after the Lord Jesus Christ. What good news. It brings comfort, peace, and joy. In Isaiah 40, verse 9, we read, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice of strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold your God. And then in Romans 10, verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. It's good tidings of good things, isn't it? There's a way of salvation. There's a way of pardon. There's a way to know comfort and peace and joy in the soul. I tell you, it's a wonderful message. The message of Jesus. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, it brings the most joyful message unto lost sinners that ever was heard. We're thankful for the news of medication, tablets, vaccine. And this will bring some relief. But I tell you this, the greatest news for this world to hear tonight is the gospel. And if millions embrace this gospel, what joy would be known in this world this evening hour. It brings the most joyful messages, Ebenezer Erskine, unto lost sinners that ever was heard. In Psalm 89, verse 15, we read, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. In the Old Testament, there was the trumpet of Jubilee, freedom. There's freedom, deliverance in the gospel. There was another trumpet. It's time to worship the Lord. Draw near. And in the gospel, because of Jesus Christ, there is acceptance. And we can draw near to God. Jesus is the mediator. We can draw near to him. And we can know God. And we need not fear. Oh, what a blessing the joyful sound is. It's a blessing to hear it, but as we see in Psalm 89, verse 15, it is a blessing to know it. Do you know it? If you do, rejoice this evening hour in the best news that has brought you the refreshment you so needed that you have ever heard. There's good news, and we who love the Lord, we've been blessed in the gospel. But that's not all. We thought earlier of a believer thirsty in affliction. Well, there's good news for the believer who thirsts in affliction. There's refreshment. There's comfort. In Psalm 119, verse 81, we read, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. There's the soul, the psalmist, it was fainting, but he's looking, he's thirsting after the word. Mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? He knows the blessing. He's thirsting after the word of comfort. If you turn back to verse 49 and 50, we read, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word have quickened me. Are you weary? You struggling in the beginning of the new week? You struggling in the season of trial? Turn to the word of God and pray, Lord, comfort me through this book. This comfort, this hope, this strength. This is good news, isn't it? The good news of comfort in the word, of hope in the word, of strength in the word. For thirsty there is refreshment. Think again of those words in Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What refreshing news that is, and what a refreshing when we know it applied. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you're weary, look and thirst after him and his word, and the promise will be fulfilled. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You think the eagle is on the ground, but then the eagle begins to beat its wings, and the eagle begins to take off and to soar through the sky. Now the ego is soaring above. Do you feel like you're on the ground? The Lord will strengthen you, as it were, so you take off and you're soaring. What else do we read? They shall run and not be weary. Are you on the ground? You've got up and you can hardly put one foot in front of another. Through the Lord's strength, you can run. And as you see in Psalm 18, overleap that wall through the Lord's strength. And they shall walk and not faint. There's times when we're fainting, when we're walking. I remember on long walks in the summer holidays, it was so hot. And I would walk with my parents and I would get so weary. And I just look down at that sun-baked path. Do you feel you're walking like that? You're looking down. You're weary. You're in the heat of affliction. But the promise is they shall walk and not faint. What refreshing news this is. If you're weary, you turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31. There's a message of hope. There's a message of strength and comfort. Weary soul, wait on the Lord. There's good news from heaven. Oh, consider further, what good news from heaven is found in Romans 8, verse 28, as we view life. And we may say at times, what's happening? Well, here comes the good news. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We've been weary. What's happening, Lord, in my life? My life seems like the back of a wristwatch. All the cogs are going different ways. I don't understand what's going on. What good news this is. For your thirsty, weary soul, we know that all things work together for good. How that text, and many other like texts, have refreshed my soul. May it refresh your soul tonight. On we could go. The next time on a hot day you have a glass of water given to you and you find refreshment, think of the far country of heaven and the good news that has come from heaven in the gospel and the good news as a whole in this book. And may your soul be refreshed and may you know a little reviving. What is our prayer tonight? Lord, give us a little reviving. O thirsty souls, look to the far country now. Look to the gospel, look to the word, look to the Lord himself. There's good news from a far country. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, refresh our weary souls this evening hour. Help us to wait on thee. We who love thee, may we rejoice in the gospel and in the comfort, the hope and the strength that is revealed to us in thy word. This is good news. May we know the refreshment of it now. For any without Christ, may they yet see that this gospel is good news. And may this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ ring through this nation in a wonderful way again. Souls are weary, but so many are looking in the wrong direction, O Lord. May weary souls in England yet be refreshed in the gospel. Hear our prayer. All glory be to thee, for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm number 98, and we're singing verses 1 through to verse 4, and the tune is Dun's Lap Creek, Psalm 98, verses 1 through to verse 4. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for wonders he hath done, his right hand and his holy arm, him victory hath won. Psalm number 98, verses 1 through to verse 4, and the tune is Dun's Lap Creek.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord.
Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.